God is good, though.
If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, can you greet your neighbor on your left and your right and say good morning? Brother Simon, it's been a while. I don't think I've seen you the last. All right. Nahum chapter 1 from verse 2. David said, magnify the Lord with me. That's what we do every time we do this. We are magnifying the Lord. We don't make him bigger. He's as big as bigness can be defined. We just increase our vision of him, our perception. Okay? One of the greatest things, one of the greatest understandings, is that okay? Yeah. That God is getting us to understand is the source of good. Do you understand? God wants us to understand the source of what? Good. Where does good come from? Now, this will surprise many people. Good does not come from good government. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
you read newspapers every day. You talk to people. Of course, these days when everything has been democratized, like they say, everybody can say anything. Why? There's Twitter. It's free. There's Facebook. There are all kinds of blogs out there. You can just open your mouth and say anything you like. So people express all kinds of nonsense. I'm sorry to say it like that, but that's a fact. Everybody knows what's wrong with the country. And they all, a lot of them know what the solution is. The painful part is that even Christians join them. That's, you say, listen, please, anytime I'm preaching, you have to understand that I don't care what the unbeliever thinks. It's the believers that are my problem. And they will tell you that, is it prayer we need? They start telling you, go to South Korea. No, Japan, did they pray? They will tell you, go to Singapore, did they pray? They tell you the story of Lee Kuan Yew. Then they turn around and say, the one that annoys me when Christians now say, is it prayer we need? Don't be a fool. Prayer is what you need. That is what sustained you up till now. You will have gone mad long ago. There will have been no country here where you know that somebody was praying. What is wrong with you? So did they pray there? I don't know. They don't have my problem. There are children who go to school beginning to the end. They don't know what they call work. I don't know what my point. They don't even do household chores. Their father pays 44 million naira a year for them to go to primary school. And then when they finish everything, they say they want to be a DJ. Do you get my point? Then you, let me not mention your family situation, but you know it. When they tell you to go and work, say, did that person work? They tell you, go and work. And I say, did that person work? And they look at, did he go to school? Did he do anything? He was going to school in the road. Why should I work? Work does not make you go to school. First question you ask that, is his father your father? You don't ask those questions, you just be talking, just yelling or pata anyhow. You just be talking nonsense. Listen, I feel the Spirit is saying is so important. A good government is a blessing in itself. It's not the source of blessing. I hope you're getting my point. The greatness of nations is determined spiritually. So the story many times, which Derek Prince told, when it was time to win the war, the Second World War, God started moving people around. When it was time to win the war in North Africa, the Council of War sat somewhere in Britain and decided to remove the commanding officer, the field marshal in charge. And they said, bring another one. That guy's not doing his work. And the one they brought, God said, that's not the right one. That one died on arrival. As he was landing, the Air Force plane that brought him crashed and killed him. So, the British Prime Minister had to single-handedly, emergency, couldn't call another council of war. He had to quickly appoint somebody who nobody knew. But that was the answer to the prayers that some people were praying. When it was time to turn the tide of war, God sent somebody. I hope you're getting my point. Good leaders, what you consider good. Now, by the way, many leaders you consider bad, they are good. Many you consider good are bad. You just don't know what is good or what is bad. What am I saying all of these things? God is the source of good. Please, America is not great because they know how to run a country. I was thinking about the other day, something led to it. Okay, I listened to one man. He said, the guy was kind of panicked. He said, some people are panicked who don't like Donald Trump. That what if he wins? He said, what will happen? He said, life will go on. Now, He said, I'm willing to do everything I have to do to make sure he doesn't win. He's a very influential person, a TV personality. He said, but if he wins, then go. He said, it won't happen. Nothing. He said, life will go on. He said, he won before 4 years. Did he start the Fourth World War? The Third War? He said, did he start it? He didn't start. He said, did he detonate any nuclear weapon? He did not. He said, hey, listen, if he comes back, life will go on as normal. Now, where I'm going about going to with it is that, if you notice, their country just remains the same, no matter who on God's earth becomes the head of state, becomes the president. People say, they have a system. America does not have a system. If you know what they call systems, they don't have. Every state does what they like. They have a funny justice system, which I call a vengeance system. Now, please, I'm not here to talk about America, but if you have the illusion that they know how to run a country, you have an illusion. So why are they the most powerful country today? Because God determines the times and the epochs. He determines who will be the on top and who will not be. That was why for hundreds of years, Daniel could tell you the country that will rule. Right now is Babylon. He tells you after that is the Medes and the Persians. After that, it will be the Greeks. After that, the Romans. He will give you, if you want dates, Daniel will give it to you. And the men he's talking about were not yet born. God is the source of all things. That's why the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, not by the plan of man, not by the skill of man. So please, I've told Christians, please stop embarrassing God. Spiritually, when you're talking, some men just close their ears. Say, those ones say they are children of God. What we need is this country. Do you know what you need in your own life? Which kind of country do we have? People never gathered to sit down to plan that they want to be together. Is it by force? Did you ever agree to your father and your mother that you'll be with them? When did Akinlu choose Olugbenga as his brother? I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
When did he appoint? I like Pastor Banky. I'm going to his house. Just woke up one day. If I started crying, say, is this the house? Where? Is this the house? In protest. But it's growing there. He grew there. So stop. Don't let people who don't know God lead you into nonsense talk. God has never asked human beings which nations he should create. He has never asked human beings which nations he should create. He has his plan. He has his purpose. He has arranged the boundaries according to the number of the sons of the Israel of God. Why does Nigeria exist? I don't care about Lord Lugard or his girlfriend, Flora Shaw. But God said, there's an expression that tickles my heart. They said, what's the expression? The church in Nigeria. The church in Nigeria. Say, create a country called Nigeria. Send the gospel there. Then there, people will arise. And I will call them what? The church in Nigeria. He has a people in every nation. He has his people in every nation. He has a people, that is, he has created them for himself. God is the source of all good. Did you hear what I said? God is the source of all good. Say it after me. Say it again. God is the source of all good. Say,
my Father
is the source
of life.
My Father
is the source
of all good things.
You
know what that means? When you want good things, you know where to go. Please, I'll get into our declaration in a moment. Let me beg you again. When you want to pray, stop giving God methods. Tell him what. One day, a young man came to me. If I wonder, I was preaching, another person got angry. He said that I should pray that God should open doors for him to go for international trials. I said, like, which crime did you commit? Why do you want to be tried internationally? He said, no, he's not a criminal, he's a footballer. So he wants to go and be tested internationally. So I asked him, whether have you gone to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium? He said, no. Have you gone to meet Julius Berger that, whether you can play for them? He said, no. I said, so what is all this prayer point? Do I look like the kind of person that sends people abroad? Where I'm going is that, see, you have to understand, I will say it again, that's a very silly prayer point. We're talking about the new national coach for Nigeria. Those of you into football, what's his name? Finidi George. I watched football last when the Finidi Georges and Co. were playing. That guy was phenomenal. Now, that's my opinion, you can disagree. He and Kanu Wanku were in Ajax Amsterdam. Hey, guys, they were local boys here. I've forgotten the club he was playing. Is he somewhere in Port Harcourt he was playing? I think they say he was the first person to. There was some movement from one local club to one. There's a way they describe his movement. that the first Nigerian to achieve it. He was playing locally, run up and down from Port Harcourt to Enugu, Enugu to Ibadan, Ibadan to Kano. That's why they run up and down. From there, God caused his light to shine. I told him, man, I did stop telling God, I want to go for time. If you come and say, God, I want to be good with football. I want to be a football, in quotes, star. That's the reason why I'm saying star. Okay? I said in quotes. Say it like that. When you are saying international, to me, you know, it means you're looking for money. You're not looking for football. Look, I like this man's story. I tell it so many times. Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly did all this nonsense that we all do. We do it too. He thought he knew the way by which God would do it. He had it in his heart to praise God, to sing songs of praise, and record Christian music. He had it in his heart. So you know what he did? What we all know how to do. He recorded demo tapes and was sending to all the recording, labels, thank you, to all the labels that he knew that would do Christian music. And they all gave him one reply. We are not interested in new artists at this time. So when he got the last frustrating response, you know what he did? He went to church, locked himself inside, and said, God, see, let's have an arrangement. Since you gave me the gift, you will hear me by force. Since nobody else wants to hear me, you must yell. The guy locked God inside the church, if you know what I mean. And he sat down and began to play. He sang all the songs he knew. He played and sang and played and sang until he got up from the keyboard and went on his knees, from his knees to the floor. And he kept on singing. And he was there, I've forgotten for how many hours, if I remember, nothing less than 2 hours. He says, if nobody wants to hear me, you that gave me the gift, you will hear it by force. You must hear. Today, you must hear. He said, by the way, after today, I'm not asking anybody again. So after I finished singing his heart out to God, he now left the matter. It was, let's use Nigerian terminology. He was choir director in the church. So he returned to his choir directing work, taking care of the praise worship and helping in church administration. He said, I'm done. And that's how one day. You see, God doesn't have to do it the way you think it should be done. At the end of service, somebody just walked up to him. Hello. I'm Michael Coleman. I'm a director with Asanda Music. This is my card. Please, do you mind praying about recording an album with us? After he had left it. Do you mind praying about recording an album with us? After he had left it too. He said there was one prayer I didn't have to pray. It was that one. He came to Lagos and he was telling us his testimony. I heard it from his mouth live. I didn't read in any book. He was standing like this. I was sitting somewhere in front there. And he was teaching us that day in Lagos. And that was it. And that then, by the time he came to Nigeria, he had released Lift Him Up. Lift Him Up, was, that time, had set the whole globe on fire. Christians, Muslims, atheists, everybody was doing Lift Him Up. They didn't know who they were lifting up many times, but they lifted him up. Yeah, only the Christians knew who they were lifting up. But everybody else joined the chorus. Because everywhere you went, you were hearing Lift Him Up, Lift Him Up. And just before, that was his second album. The first one was Jesus Is Alive. And that time he just announced to us, he told us then at that minister's meeting that it was just declared a few days before as the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced on the earth, just before he came to Nigeria, for a man who had left it. What am I saying? When you want to ask God for it, instead of telling him how to do it, when people are changing location so they can meet people. Because the person you want to meet is in the bush. It will never cross your mind to go and look for him in the bush. I've heard all kinds of nonsense that the world does. They tell you that. I've even heard, you know, good Christians say it. Say, if you want to travel, stop traveling economy. Travel business class or first class. Why? That is where the important people are. That's how you meet important people. And young men have killed themselves with debt. Flying first class, business class. They can't afford it. Now, in case you do not know, business class is for those who have the money. If you are praying to get money, God will not give you to go and be doing rubbish. Go and sit where your mates are sitting down. You know what I'm trying to say? I won't say more than that. Business class is not for those who are doing kakaboyaba, yaya, to get the money to pay for ticket. And you are flying. If economy is $1,000, business is $3,000. First class will be $5,000. Hey, by the way, you know me, I don't like fighting those who have money. If you see any man in first class, don't say, what is he doing down there? It's not the same place we are going to. Why is he your problem? Did he take an offering for you to pay? It's not of your business, okay? Just leave that one. But the point I mean, they say, ah, good. And really, you know, I can give you testimonies of people who have met people in business class. One of our brothers told me his boss was going to Abuja, and they were in business class, local flight. You remain standing, home of you are thinking, what are you doing? Imagine that says you wear heels at half your height. Come on. They have to sit him out. You can sit after and after. Now, let's just finish this together. The Lord is good. The brother says, Oga was traveling. Took a flight from here. Business class. Of course, a big man, and he's supposed to fly business class. The day I talked to the man, when the man told me how much he pays a night, anytime he goes to Abuja, I was looking like, what did you say? But on the surface, praise God. Yeah. In my mind, what? At that time, it was some people's annual salary. Every night, he's in Abuja, that's how much the hotel charges. I said, you pay that much? He said, no, I don't. Why not? Oh, he told me one gist. No, that doesn't pay that amount of money. Why don't you pay? I belong to a club. Uh-huh. He told me the percentage of discount he gets. Why did they give it to you? He said, I bought an apartment in a particular place somewhere in the world for $3.5 million. So once you buy that apartment, they put you in a club. Anywhere you go in the world, you pay a massive discount. Now, that's another story. He said he was just going. So now I saw a man on the plane. A prominent politician. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm so surprised. Oh, nice to meet you. He said, so I'm going to Abuja. What are you going to do in Abuja? I just want to call it. I want to go and see the Minister for Internal Affairs. Oh, you want to go see him? Wow. Oh, he's my friend. I'll introduce you. Not a problem. I'll introduce you. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, we'd like to meet him now. Hey, Minister, my friend wants to meet you. He didn't know the Minister was sitting right behind him. That one just turned and said, this is my friend. He didn't know him. They just met there and introduced him. So when they got there, the man rode in the same car, I think, with the Minister with the other man. His own driver had to be following them behind. Now, so you see, business class flights paid off, isn't it? You will be a fool spiritually to now go and sell your father's property. To staff, you will meet nobody. No, let me tell you who you will meet, in case you don't know. There are some people you don't know in this country. That's what they do. They are thieves. They only fly business class. Yeah, they exist in this country. They are criminals. The only thing they do is fly business class. Do you know why? They steal. So they have a lot of briefcases. So when business class guys are going, they are scanning their briefcases. When they see the briefcase one person is carrying, they get an identical briefcase and walk into that same business class. When they are leaving, they quickly disembark, take the other man's briefcase and walk away. They know it to contain dollars. They know it to contain money. The other man will take the other briefcase, thinking it's his own. When he gets to his hotel room, he opens and sees all the newspapers for the last 2 years inside there. The other one has gone. He will get there. Literally, no, of course, now these are big men. You open the briefcase, find $10,000. Okay, so what's this thing? And they were doing... Look, these are things that police keep on fighting against. When you do like that, that's the person you will meet. The only thing you have in your life, the international passport and visa to America and UK, they will collect it. It's God that, in fact, that one is an angel that will steal your own that day. What am I saying? Only from God comes good. And you cannot tell him how he will do it. So whatever you want, just ask him. Get on your knees and say, Lord, do this for me. He said, I want to meet somebody. God said, don't worry. Just go to your farm. It will be the day the man went game hunting. And you'll be the one to help him catch the partridge he shot. Oh, nice to meet you. Are you a hunter? Bro, this person, they take and relax. So actually, I'm so surprised. What are you doing here? That's how it works. You don't know where you'll meet your own Samuel. I hope you're getting my point. And listen, blessings are not games of chance. You don't stumble into the person that will bless you by chance on business class. I hope you're getting me. I told the story of a young boy looking for admission. He went to the market, either here or in Anunsuka, and was... The man said, what is the problem? You look depressed. I've been trying to get admission to UNN. I can't. He said, why didn't you tell me? Why would I tell you? You own a shop in the market. What do you know about admission? Did you go to university? I'm talking about professors and... The man said, see me tomorrow or something in the evening. Come back. The guy came back, put him on the back of his motorbike and rode to the VC's house and knocked on the door. And they opened for him. Uche, how now? Boy, how for her business? He said, no, hello. This is my son. He said he needs admission and they're not giving him. Please do this one for me now. The guy was primary school classmate with the vice chancellor. You think all vice chancellors came from King's College? They came from everywhere. And many of them still know their friends. And they will do that for the man as a favor. And listen, many vice chancellors are not important people. They don't look. To become a professor is nothing. Most professors are very poor. They are poor people. Their father was poor. Their mother was poor. They are still poor. and they are professors. And they are the ones from among them, they will select one and become a VC. So if you see the real friends of vice chancellors, most of them are average, low socioeconomic class people. Are they not from villages in this country? Did they drop from abroad? If you see any VC doing like this, you'll go, cool down, we know where you are from. Stop all of this nonsense. And then this your VC ship will last another 4 years, and then we're back to normal. And if I catch in the market that day for not helping me, you will see something. And that's a joke. Do you get my point? That's what happened to this young man. He got his admission from a man who owned a shop in the market, who was a direct friend to the vice chancellor. This story I'm telling you happened in Suka here. So stop telling God how he will solve your matter. Some people are praying for a visa, they want to go abroad. God says, is there abroad you want or what? Let's be honest. Itemize for me what you want. Say, Lord, I want to live comfortably. Write it down. I want my children to be able to go to decent schools and not be looking over their shoulders. God said, write it down. Not a problem. Write it down. Write it down. And let me say, I like constant power. I want band A. God says, write it down. Have you finished? Yes. Okay, fine. Now go back to work. I can bring it to you anywhere. One day my mother went, stay with my brother in Lagos for some months. So my wife and I went to meet her. It was easier for us to see her there before we go back home. She come to this, I say, Bank, is this not what they call abroad? She said, these people here are living abroad, are they not? Because she has been there for a long time. Light only blinks if it goes off, it's back in the next 30 seconds. She walks around the neighborhood, there's no traffic, there's no noise. She goes like, okay. She's like, okay, they go abroad. To go and look for what? Because my brother's neighbor had abandoned the house to go abroad. So my mother is wondering, what is he going to meet? The constant air. Thank you very much. See, God can bring good to you anywhere. What did I say? So anything you want, you know what to do? Say the way it is. Stop telling him how to do it. God, you know if I go now, I will be able to. God says, so if you don't go, you will not be able to. I hope you are getting my point. It's very important things we are saying. So all of this will let us know we must learn how to do what? Magnify God. Let's open our Bibles. Nahum chapter 1. Oh, it's already open. Are we there? From verse 2, we are going to read all the way to verse 10. I see a number of people that may not be used to what we do, so please. You will read with us from New American Standard Bible. Please just, so I keep on repeating it. Don't go and misquote me that I said that is the best Bible to read. I didn't say so. There are so many versions, we just chose one. Is that okay? It could be NIV, anyone. All right, NIV is a good one. I love New Living Translation. New King James is beautiful, anyone. But let's just use this one, New American Standard Bible. That's one we've been using here. So let's use it again this morning. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Say that amen like you are really here.
Amen.
All right, that means we're all there. So 1, 2, let's go. The jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the doors beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, his stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make a complete end of his sight, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. Let's stop in verse 9, all right? The Lord is good. We just stop in verse 9. The Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. Father, we thank you for another beautiful morning, a morning of insight and understanding. Thank you for grace is poured upon us afresh again today. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we've come to you with open hearts, ready to drink of your spirit, ready to receive understanding and wisdom from you. And we declare as follows. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Again, good morning. Nice to see you again today. It looks like we have preached part one of today's message. In fact, we should just share the grace. And all right, the Lord is good. I said something last time, and that's what I began to do it. Number one, I said, oh, we won't be staying for so long. Some of you didn't believe me, so your faith did not activate the thing that I said. So we ended up staying longer than I planned. You know, two must be agreed. You have to come to agreement. Uh-huh. There are things I've tried not to do, but some people's spirit would not just agree. All right, but again, I said that before I used to teach long series, all right? So I'm suspending that for some time. I never suspended that here, but I'm doing that for now. So what I preached last week was for last Saturday. It's done. So today, so for that reason, I'd like to have titles. Today I have something else. But even though my titles, I'll give you at the end. What do you think? Because I don't want to say something and not do it. Okay, let me give you this one at the beginning. How to be a king. So that's what I'm talking about today, how to be a king. The Lord is good. Sorry. When you give a topic and your wife says, what does it mean? Okay, she said it's strange. She said it's strange because I have a title. Okay. The Lord is good. Oh, let's see how it is. Amen. Okay, let's begin from here. Genesis chapter 15. What I want to bring out is something, just a small thing there, from the word of the Lord that God gave to Abram concerning what he would do in his life. Let's start from verse 1. A nice Bible reading. Just a verse I need, but a good Bible reading would be beautiful. From verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. I like the King James version there. It says, your exceedingly great reward. That God called himself Abram's reward. Okay? I mean, I understand that very well. To be the greatest thing you can ever, you know, wish for. That is, to know God. To be fashioned according to his likeness. So when God says, I will be your exceedingly great reward. New King James says, NIV says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. It's a beautiful expression. Don't forget it. All right? For God to be your reward. I'm going to get New King James what he says. Yes, New King James says the same thing. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Beautiful. Now let's continue reading. Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside. Now, this is where I read this. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That is, the man rested in what God said to him, and God said, that is my kind of man. That's the person I can work with, who can have a relationship with me, and we will enter into a covenant, a sort of marriage covenant. So he said, verse 5 again, look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Now, where I'm going, why I read this is the issue of stars, that God chose the stars to tell Abraham something. Now, you can take it literally. You go out and count stars. Just a small aside. Please, people sometimes do what I call hyper-literal interpretation of scripture. So they want to get how many stars are out there according to modern astrologers. No, astronomers, sorry. You know, it can be confusing. Astrology is mystic. Astronomy is science, okay? According to modern astronomers, and they want to use that to check whether God fulfilled his word or he didn't. That's unnecessary. Because the Bible tells again and again that by the time they were coming out of Egypt, he said he had multiplied them like the sand on the seashore. So they were not counting grains. There is something that each thing depicts. The stars depicted something. I hope you're getting my point. All right? And now this is my interpretation. You can disagree with this. I'm not being dogmatic about it, even though I'm quite persuaded. But the Spirit is right anyway. That when they chose stars, I think that one of the things that happened, this is what I think. Of course, interpreting the scriptures can be interesting. You really cannot interpret the scriptures more than the experience you have had. Yeah, it's near impossible to be able to relate with the scriptures more than your experience. In fact, one reason why God gives you a lot of experiences is to be able to understand spiritual things. Bear it in mind. It's almost impossible. That's why you keep on learning the truth. It unveils itself to you more and more every day. Like, let me give an example. If you have never been hungry, that God is a provider is difficult to understand.
Yes.
It's very hard. You won't understand it until you have been hungry. You say God is a healer, you have never been sick. You won't appreciate what it means to somebody to be a healer. Which is why I say when you want to praise God, some of these things you say, God takes it to his, because you are right. But it's not the same thing. It's not come from the bowels of your spirit. There's a way it is. Yeah. You know, the one I keep on giving as an example. Say, God that dwells in the middle of light unapproachable. It's in the Bible. I'm not saying it's not there. But you don't know what it means. Now, if you were somebody like a physicist now, all right? And you say, God dwells in the midst of a black hole. Do you know? You will say, wow, God can survive a black hole. He's a great God. Now, all of you are looking like, what did you just say? You see, I understand. You don't understand. Do you get my point? I mean, I understand that you can't relate with it because if you've not understood what physicists mean, that in the center of black hole, it can shred any piece of matter into nothingness. Anybody that can dwell there is great. Now, why did I go into that? You know, as years pass, that is, life gets keeps on evolving. Interpreting these stars, I began to look at it differently. There was a time, I don't have details now, but I watched one man analyze some things that Ezekiel or John in Revelation said. And he tried to show that they were described, that some of the things that they called grasshoppers were attack helicopters. Now, when he was saying it, he took a grasshopper with a sting in the tail. The man was explaining that, look, come on, that's not a grasshopper. And he described, he'll show you a grasshopper, show you a helicopter, and try and show why that will look like a grasshopper to a man who has never seen a helicopter. If you see them moving, maybe you see about 1,000 helicopters moving across the horizon. The only thing you can liken it with will be locusts. But you know the funny part? Even he, advanced technology is trying to prove him wrong. Because now, if you know the future of robotics in warfare, you can actually have smaller stuff that fly like locusts, but they are robots. They are already being developed. And literally, they cannot carry stings. So it's a difficult look until things are fulfilled. So the one day, people are trying to explain something. The Bible says, I said, just relax. That it might be fulfilled that which was. Until it is fulfilled, you can't fully understand it. It's only after it's been fulfilled. They say, oh, it has now been fulfilled. You now look back and see what it was like or what it's like now that was prophesied. What am I saying this about Abraham? I look at Abraham, I say, stars, stars, stars. Abraham had not seen modern cities. A vision of modern cities will look like stars to him. If I show you a modern city at night, you will think you have seen a galaxy. If I take someone from Abraham's time, I just zoomed him down here a few thousands of years, and we arrive at night. At night, a modern city. He will say, the stars have fallen down from heaven onto the earth. Because that's the only thing he knows that will look like that. Why am I saying this? When God told Abraham about stars, I don't think it was just about numbers. We say there are many stars in heaven, all of them shine. That's part of it. That each one of his descendants will shine. That's what God was saying. There are many applications, like I've given you one now. Look, Abraham saw modern cities, and God said, your descendants will build modern cities. They'll build things that look like they have stars on the earth. One day we went to visit one of our brothers in Nigeria, LNG, their gas plant. So when they're at night, my God, you just stand like this and see, it's as if every corner has a bright light. So when you see it at night, it literally looks like you're looking into the heavens and seeing what? Stars. If you're ever in a plane at night and you're landing in one of these big cities of the world, or you look down like this, my God, you tell the pilot, please stay there. Let me soak this in. It will look like stars. And I don't have it. Like I said, I'm not being dogmatic. You can disagree. But I believe that those were some of the things that God showed to Abraham. Modern cities, God told Abraham, don't worry, your descendants will build. Now, but our emphasis for today, each one will shine like what? A star. Now, why am I bringing it up today? To let you understand something, no matter how many they are, each one can shine. Each star differs in what the Bible calls is the glory, that is the brightness when you are looking from the earth. But each one, now listen to this, is supposed to shine. Each star is not comparing itself with the other one on how much are you shining, how much am I shining. Look, what you are depicting, because all the stars you see out there, there's a man I have his book. They will tell you, now he will talk about it was not analyzed astrology when it came to Christianity. Now, he's a good Christian man. He's not an astrologist, but there's something he was trying to depict. And he gave scriptures that the stars actually say something. And God made it clear. The constellation of stars actually do say something. Now, for example, when Jesus was born, how did the wise men in the East, how did they know? They saw in the stars. They looked, and it told them something. Where is it? They saw one that was moving, and they followed it. Listen, like David Pawson will say, what is wrong with astrology? Is when people think the stars determine. The stars don't determine, they reflect. What determined the position of the star? Where the child was born. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, where the child was born determined the position. Now, you don't have any business studying astrology. Do you know why? It's unnecessary. You have the scriptures, you have apostles and prophets. There is nothing you want to see in the stars now that's to be compared with what has been given to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. But where I'm just going is that, do you know there is no star there that's there for no reason? Each one is telling a story. Each one is saying something about God. Each one is saying, God created it to make a statement on the earth. I don't know much about stars. But the fact is that the Bible said that they were for signs, they were for seasons. They are there. So, each of Abraham's descendants also, what did Isaiah say about them? I and the children that the Lord has given me were for what? Signs and for wonders. So, each one of God's children, every child of God is supposed to shine as a star. Now, let me say something again. I didn't say on social media. I didn't say it would be a movie star. Because that's a mistake. You know, sometimes, a lot of the doctrines we preach in Christianity, they are true. The problem is their application. Or when somebody is teaching it, what the Bible calls the unlearned, they twist to their own destruction. Ignorant people can twist things. That's why you just judge truth by how it is applied. Do you get my point? How are you applying? Let's forget all these details of argument. The Bible doesn't like them too much. How are we applying it? If you say that I'm a Christian, I'm not a sinner, amen, we'll not argue over that. Is that okay? Yeah. A Christian cannot be a sinner. He said, but John said that. He said, no, doesn't mean, okay, fine. Now, I'm not taking sides. I'm just in the kind of arguments we do have. But at the end of the day, what does it mean? Does it mean when you steal my money, it's not a sin? Or that because you know God so much, you won't steal my money? Do you get my point? Now, I've seen people apply it like this. Even if I stole your money, it can't be a sin because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See? Now, that is where the problem now is. Yes, there are things we have seen. So what if you do that, it is wrong? You can't confess sin. You're supposed to confess Christ. See, now that is where the problem is. See, all the argument of who's righteous, who's not righteous, what does sin mean, the sin nature, look, let's break it down. What does it now mean, real life? It means that no matter what I do, it's not a sin. That is a lie. But because I'm a child of God, I shouldn't do that which is a sin. That is true. If I do that which is wrong, it's not my character. That is correct. So I should repent of it. That is very correct. And there's grace available for me not to do it again. That is right. But if you tell me that, no, I should stop thinking of sin. I become sin conscious like that. That is a lie. Do you follow what I'm saying, all of these things? Is that okay? So that's what happens. Again, let me go back to it. When we talk about the gospel of prosperity, like I said, was it last time or one of these days recently? Last Saturday? Okay. I explained it. The gospel of prosperity is a good gospel. It's just that it's one of the gospels in Christianity that attract worldly people the most. People who have not crucified the flesh, they easily latch onto it. And then they spread it and use their bad character to give the truth a bad reputation. Like I used to illustrate, Kenneth Hagin taught us prosperity. He had to write a book to tell everybody, this is not what I said. Read his book, Midas Touch. The man said he doesn't understand what is going on. Like he'll tell you that, look, you can claim it and you can have it and all of that. I said, go and ask him what he claimed and what he had. The man will tell you, every month, every week, I needed about $100. So I will pray and cast out the binding spirit against my money at the end of the day. At the end of the week, what does he get? $100. But we take the same thing I want to claim Dangote's refinery. So we're already fighting amongst ourselves. Who inherits somebody else's property? I'm breaking a particular rule that shall not covet your neighbor's property. See what I'm saying? So we're talking about stars. That's the point I'm making all of these things. To be a star is good, is right, but it didn't say to be a movie star. Being a star doesn't mean everybody now is what they are doing and watching you as you go and camp your life for 100 days in a small house under 20 cameras. Your head is not correct. Do you get my point? For us, that is not what we call stars. Let me show you what stars mean, really, in the Bible. What it means to be a star. I have it out here. Daniel chapter 12. I'm talking about the making of a king, right? That star is the same thing I mean when I'm talking about a king. Let's read from around we're going to verse 3, but let's start from around verse 1. Let's read from verse 2. We'll read verse 2 and verse 3. Talking about the time of distress and all of that. Okay, let's start from verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will do what? Will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Or King James will say firmament. And it says, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine as what? Like the stars forever and ever. Can you see who the stars of God are? What are they? Those who lead many to righteousness. Just as an aside. Well, not as an aside. It's part of the message. Talking to my children a few days ago. Paul wrote to Timothy. Where were we reading? 1 Timothy, right? 1 Timothy. Paul's writing to Timothy. He said, don't let anybody despise your youth. So I told them, it means that you tell them, look, I'm not a young person. Hey, you are young. So let them not look down on you because you are young. He said, how do you do that? You make a lot of noise and warn them and tell them who your father is and how there's grace upon your head. And the father of that is your ministry. Is that what you do? You use the name of Paul to threaten them. Let me tell you, I'm an apostolic designate by the great apostle Paul. I have his grace. I stand in his shoes as I'm right here. Is that what you do to them? What did Paul say it should be? Be an example in speech, in conduct, let's just read it quickly. Let me just get the words correctly. My children, you should give them to me now. We were just reading a few days ago. Yes, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He said, how do you show them they are not young and should be despised? Let them hear you talk. Let them see your conduct. Let them see your purity. Let them see how you sacrifice yourself for other people. They notice that, look, there are four chairs there. We are six coming. You deliberately wait for other people to sit. You are one of those to take a chair last. It's called love. Or you're already seated. Your elder walks in. You are the first to stand up. Say, you're welcome, sir. You can have this seat. And they say, oh, this child is well brought up. So they won't despise your youth. They won't. But if you go there and sit down there, your seniors are talking, you put a chair and sit down and say, eh? Is that what happened? You tell you, this one doesn't have, get up, get out. So I was discussing with my children. I said, listen, they won't despise your youth when they check your conduct. So I gave them an example. I said, look, everybody's wearing torn jeans. Don't wear torn jeans. Listen, everybody is looking for direction. Take your own jeans, wash it, iron it. Wear a nice big belt. Initially, your friends will be laughing at you. But behind, now, this is very funny. This is very, very funny. Let me just tell you the truth. The guys will be laughing at you, but the girls will be dying for you behind. Yeah, no. Did I know when this was? I knew when they were all young girls. I know how they used to behave. It's that guy that's confident and stands out that they love. Yeah. See, if you see any young lady that's running after a guy who's showing off, she shallow herself. It's the person who's confident and is willing to stand out. Everybody is losing their head, doesn't lose his own. It's the one they will like. So young boys, just stop. Anybody sagging, don't sag. Girls are looking for guys who don't sag because everybody is sagging. I hope you're getting my point. One day they realize that, look, this life, I can't have a sagging husband. Yeah, no, it's true. I was just discussing with my children. I've told them many times. I said, look, amongst your friends, don't ever try to conform. Always identify what is right and do it. Stick by it. Lose all the friends, doesn't matter. Identify what is right. Do you know why? The others are looking for direction. They don't have. So everybody go, yeah, let's go. They don't know where they are going. So you just stand there and say, Manke, are you not coming? Say, no, why not? I don't know where they are going. He said, oh boy, myself, I don't know where they are going. That's how you will know. They will just stand. He said, I beg, it's true. And that person, two of you are not coming. He's the one that will not be saying that. We don't know where they are going. That is, initially, you are the one that said, I don't know where they are going. He will now be the one defending. Say, we don't know where they are going. Say, it's true. Before you know what's happening, everybody's gathering around. They now look and say, okay, so what do we do now? You become a leader just by not following what everybody is doing. Most people in life are looking for direction. See, most people in life are doing what? Looking for direction. The other day I told you, I finished giving a lecture to medical students. A young lady came to see me after. I said, excuse me, sir. Do you mentor people? I said, what do you mean? She said, is there a group of people that you talk to? I said, yes, but finish your exam first, then we'll see. I need to invite her here. I said, what? I said, I don't want to make mistakes in life. I'll just say, some of you, you'll be going out. One boy will just come from America one day, wear tata jeans, and say he wants to marry, and you'll marry an American visa. I said, what is wrong with your head? Is that kind of gist we just said in class? She came afterwards to come and meet me. Excuse me, sir. Please, sir, is there a way? I need to be talking to you. Say, I don't want to make mistakes. Say, people are looking for direction. David Paulson told the story of a whole, I think, Baptist or Methodist church in the U.S. that overnight converted all as a group to Islam. Now, they have their problem. I'm not agreeing with them. It's the reason they did that I'm talking about. That they sat down and analyzed it and found that when you are discussing ordaining homosexual priests, that Muslims don't do it. When you are discussing whether you can be transgender or trans stupid, Muslims don't discuss it. They saw a lot of the modern things that became topics in the church. You know, the current pope, this one of my colleagues here, he does not go to church anymore. He said, this guy, I can't be a Catholic under him. What is the reason? Because he agrees to discuss a lot of things. Last time he said something like, those who are not willing to embrace modern are risking, he said they are having suicidal ideas. They are trying to be conservative with the suicidal idea. Look, if they could impeach people in Catholic Church, this guy, they will have impeached that guy. I've seen some of my friends come to his defense. They are embarrassed. If a man is homosexual and he loves God, who am I to judge? They're like, Oga, we're not judging him. We're just saying that God said this is wrong. As you know, this thing has gone. Now, where I'm going? Let's look at David Paulson said this whole church, they looked at all of this and looked and said, can you see that the Muslims don't even have this discussion? Have you seen where you have to do same-sex marriage? Have they gone near a mosque? It is church they come to now. I'm telling you that God loves everybody. Go and tell the imam down the street. You can't. Why? Whether they are true or false, that's not the issue. But their stance has never been in question. So the whole church looked and said, thank you. And they all joined. They all joined Muslims. And what was their reason? They said, please, we need focus. This is going up and down. Now, like I said, I don't agree with them. You know that is not what Christianity is. After all, recently, one guy that was making the waves in Europe was Andrew Tate. You can Google up the story of Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate, what was his issue? Now he's on trial in Bulgaria. All right? He's been arrested in there for quite some time. Getting to 2 years now, or at least over a year. He and his brother. I'm sorry to say, I still think, personally, this is my personal opinion, I think there's a lot of politics with his arrest and all of that. Now, the crime they say he committed are possibly crimes, but like Donald Trump is on trial now, and I like what Farid said. He said, nobody else will ever be on trial for that case except your name is Donald Trump. Now, listen, Farid does not like Donald Trump. Farid, no, he talks on CNN. CNN is 100% anti-Donald Trump. Yet he made a statement last week and all the Fox News and all of that, they are carrying it everywhere. Farid said, the only reason why this case is going on is that the person's name is Donald Trump. That the case makes no sense if you're a normal person. What does it mean? Even in their own stronghold, they have agreed this is politically motivated. But that's an aside. So Andrew Tate, when I look at everything, I know they just had to get the man. But what made the guy so popular? Now, just for records, I don't agree with Andrew Tate. I don't agree with his lifestyle. I don't at all. Let's get that clear. He's sexually immoral. Yes, he is. He's very worldly. Everything he preaches on this is about things on this earth. To him, a sign of success is the kind of car you drive. It's just that there's something he does that made young men follow him. He has a massive following amongst young men. Massive. That's why they're part of the reason why some people want to take him down. And what is the reason? When they say that, like it's British, okay? That all this LGBTQ, right? He said, listen, if you think marrying a woman is not worth your time, it's your problem. But I forbid you to talk to my child about it. And he said it openly. When even their prime minister couldn't say it, he will say it openly and tell you a man is a man, a woman is a woman. Look, he kept on speaking openly that as a man, this is what you are supposed to do. He said this is a position of a man in society. Suddenly, you know what happened? Young men found somebody to tell them what they are supposed to do with their lives. Which is what this man has been preaching to, this Canadian psychologist. Jordan Peterson, yes. The same thing. He talked about Andrew Tate, also said doesn't agree with his life. Okay? But that this is a problem. That men have to be taught to be men, and that right now in the society, you have a society where men are taught that they are not really anything. Anybody can be a man if you want to be a man. You can be a woman. So, I don't, look, whether you like it or not, these things are hardwired. They are hardwired. Listen, let me tell you something. You'll be surprised. You know, when this my son was much smaller, and the sister was definitely also smaller than his own more smaller self. One day I gave him an instruction, and he didn't do it. And I'm like, this boy wants some thrashing. Abi? Maybe I told him, remove this thing from the front, put it at the back of the house. I came, was still in the front of the house. I said, why will he be this stubborn? I was really, really angry. Then thank God for the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You need parenting by the Spirit. Why? And then, that's the nature that you're angry with him, you're talking, he's not going to answer you, he's just looking at you. I've told him, talk. Don't get punished for nothing. Defend yourself. Later on, I found out what's the issue. I did not give him the instruction directly. I told the sister, tell your brother, remove that, maybe, that basket from the front of the house, take it to the back. And she went there and said, remove the basket from the front, take it to the back. And the guy looked like, says who? And because it's his normal, he didn't even answer, he just ignored her entirely and continued what he was doing like nobody said anything. I had to tell the sister, I said, next time, you have to invoke my name. You will go there and say, Daddy said. And that was the problem. Who on earth is my baby sister to tell me what to do? You ladies, listen. Stop instructing your husbands. They hate the idea. They won't argue with you, but they won't do it. He said, okay, take the children to the mall for me. The guy is going to enter his car, start it, and drive to that same mall without any one of the children. And when it's time for counseling, the other day, I don't know how he can be so wicked. He went to the mall. The children were supposed to go there. He didn't take them. I don't understand. You don't get the point. You could have asked him, Maoga, God bless you. Are you going to the mall? Yes. Hey, will you sue thy majesty to be... I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you how to save your life. But if you don't think you can take them, don't worry. When I'm done, I will now go. You know what? These men will always go. They will leave everything they have to do, and they will go. Once you cross your leg and become Vashti or Jezebel, and say, Ahab, see, especially those quiet people are the dangerous ones. They will not say anything. They will not say anything. But that thing you are saying, they will not do. And some are even so terrible. When you go for counseling, they are still quiet. They'll just be looking at, yeah, I agree, it's not good. All right? All right? One day, I said something to my wife in the house. She was not happy. She said, say sorry. I said, I want you to be blessed. I will do no such thing. And she got my point. This was just a few weeks ago. What you said is not good. I said, I'm not saying I know it's not good. I said, yeah, apologize. I said, I will do no such thing. I want you to be blessed. He said, you don't apologize? No, I can apologize, but you can't demand it. Oh, I can apologize 100,000 times. But you don't stand in the presence of the king and tell the king I apologize. This is my palace.
Yes, my God.
God bless my wife. She got the point. I just said, it's important that you are blessed. And now they hear some shunting today again. It's true now. Look, life has order. That's the point I'm making. All right? It has an order. Let's not go into details about it. But it has an order. You have to learn how to, how to do things properly. Okay? Where I'm going is that it's hardwired in a man to be a man. No matter how quiet he is, he's still a man. Just by the way. If he does what you say, initially you will like him. After a while, you will despise him. After a while, you won't like his presence. I told the story now. There's one lady, my wife knows, we were at her wedding. Then she finally got married. There was this guy that chased this girl. You know, when you say a man loves a woman, when you say man, that guy loved that girl 10 times more than I love this one that I married. Yeah, I'm telling you. And I told her, look, loving my wife was increasing till now. 25 years later, it's increasing more and more until Jesus comes. Amen? The path of Pastor Banky in marriage is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. Amen. But look, listen. Okay, let's use time to analyze it. The guy, I met my wife May, let's around May 1st of a particular year. December next year, we're married. So 18 months from seeing for the first time, talking, seeing father, seeing mother, seeing relatives. And if you marry Niger Delta babe, you will see relatives. Those people, you go travel. They will tell you that this girl belongs to everybody. That the father is one of the owners. It's a big company. The shareholders. And their own is not, you know, in this part of the world, in Eastern Nigeria, during the weddings when you settle everybody. Their own is not like that. You go around all the people to obtain consent. So, I did all of that. 18 months later, we're married. Abi? Good. My guy, the one I'm telling you about, he chased this girl that I'm aware of for nothing less than 5 years. She still did not marry him. Oh, yes. She did not. She didn't marry him. We spent a lot of time talking. She used to tell me a lot of things, you know, we talked. One day I looked at this girl. I said, gee, people, they find husband. This guy, they find you. Now, listen. Let me explain something to you. This guy was a professional. A skilled surgeon. No. May not be that time, yeah, he was qualifying to be a specialist surgeon. Just about to qualify. So it's not that. In fact, she used to say that the guy was too intelligent. Good Christian guy, you know, church guy. Those people that can worship and do evangelism and still be in prayer warrior team. So, now, one day I told her, I said, you see, I don't know this guy. I never met him. Everything I know about him, I heard from you. So one day I carried, I said, come, I need to know. Why you won't marry this man? Okay, that day we were walking on the road. I said, so what is the problem? Because if it's me, I would have married this guy last year. Married him the year before. I would have just married this guy for the last 5 years. Because I don't get you. She said, how do I explain this? We were walking on the road. Now, before I tell you, this is a very stubborn human being. Oh, yes. You see what I'm saying? Let me give you an idea. One day we'll come back from church together. One day the same church. And we live in the same building, all right? Different floors. So, went to the same church. So, naturally, you're a guy. You're walking with a lady. We didn't have cars, so we enter public transport. Time to pay. Fight. I will say, let me pay. He said, no, she must be the one to pay. Finally, I will have to intimidate the Lagos conductor. Return her money. Conductor will look me. Madam, this man said I should give you your money back. That's the only way I could get to pay. Then we are walking down. We come down from the bus. We're walking down towards our block. I said, let's walk this way along the road. She said, this other way is shorter. I said, yes, I agree, but that passes through student quarters. And I don't like the idea, you know. Let's just walk along the road, you know. Nice sidewalk, quiet, there are trees. But it's a bit longer, but I mean, who cares where we are? We're not traveling, I mean. The difference is not like it's more than 20, 15 meters. He said, no, this one is better. Do you know what? We'll get to that junction. She will go this way. I will go on my own way. And I am also stubborn. So, you see, two stubborn people. She'll go that way. I'll go this way. And then we'll meet again where the roads unite and continue. I'll only split when we get to our staircase. We live on different floors. Now, that's the kind of person I'm dealing with. So that day we're now walking. So now say that. So what is the problem? Why didn't you want to marry my guy? I don't know the guy. She said, look, Banky, look at it this way. See the way we are walking now. I had to describe her character for you to see the point. See the way we are walking now? I said, yes. He said, if I tell him that I was walking on the side towards the cars. He said, if I tell you, I tell him I don't like the side he's walking on, you should come over to the other side. He said, do you know he will move over without asking why? That, thank you. What does she want? That is a person. I have to tell you how stubborn she is as a person to tell you that she was looking for a man we stand. Yes. And one thing she waited to see in that guy forever was leadership. Just take the lead. In her heart, I know I'm a stubborn person. I know I'm a difficult person. That's why I need you to be firm. That she didn't say it, but she was looking for it. The day she said, you know, I understood. Because I had a relative that complained like that before. Has a very nice and compliant husband. But behind, when you hear her complain. So I realized something that forget all these beefs like my wife David, I say David tough, like I'm from worry. Listen that. When you marry me, finish. I will show you I'm from what's that place in Bayelsa where Egbesu boys have headquarters. Listen, we're not talking about fight. It's not wrestling. Nobody said go and be wrestling your wife. Know what you are doing. Make a decision and stand by it. I'm not talking about you being stubborn. I'm describing the fact that the woman is looking for what? Direction. Look, and that's why, like I tell my son when we're talking to somebody, I say, that's why you need to fill your head with information, fill your head with knowledge. You can't be a man sitting down and you are playing PS4. No. See, once you have a wife that listens to you, if I see you on PS4, if I see you on PS5, whatever it is, PS is not your portion. Use information as your entertainment. Watch news for goodness sake. Analyze what's going on in Abuja. Know what's going on in town. Yeah, you because you have to speak like you know what you are doing. You are somebody's leader. You have to know where you are going. I'm talking about being a star. I was talking about why Andrew Tate got a large following. Why a church went and followed Muslims. That's what I'm talking about. And the Tate just told the young man what it meant to be. And then you have to understand, he was a man. That is a man in that sense. He's a kickboxer. Now for you to be a kickboxer, you have to be a tough person. The guy is a champion kickboxer. You know what they call kickboxer?
Yes.
Yeah. So you see a kickboxer, you know what they say, man is shredded, well-built, handsome guy, and then drives, I think, a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. And when you're talking about global warming, he said, tomorrow I'm buying a Bugatti to pollute the atmosphere. Yeah, the guy will actually go and buy a high-performance car to tell you that I don't care about your global warming. I think it's all nonsense. Hey, boy started following him. I said, I don't agree with his life. I'm just using him to show that people need it. So I taught my children, don't follow any crowd. If they are going somewhere, say, I don't know where they are going, so I'm not going. Just plant your foot. Step out of the stream. Stay beside. And somebody will say, are you not following us? Say, where are people going? And they said, who's the day that said to who? Then the person will pause and stay with you. People are looking for what? Direction. And the person who is a king is a person who gives direction. See, go and see. When Israel was going to recognize David as a king, after Saul died, they came to him and said, look, even when Saul was alive, were you not the one leading us to battle? I don't know whether you get the point. Their only issue was that, we know the Ororo is on your head. No, the Ororo was not the issue. They said, even when Saul was alive, were you not the one leading us to battle? Now we need to anoint a king. Who else will anoint? The fact that Samuel anointed him was not their problem. Is that this man had been giving them direction. When it was time to defend them from enemies, he was in front. That was what made him a king. What does it mean to be a king? It means to have direction yourself. I hope you're getting my point. We've been studying here, when we're looking at Soldiers of the Cross. If you're listening to this and you did not participate in that, please go and get the series, Soldiers of the Cross. Allow me a minute for those of us who were here throughout to review what we said briefly. And then to help those who did not listen to the series with us. We read from Revelation chapter 17, you remember, that it said that there's a conflict going on. The beast, he wants to win a battle. And for him to be able to win it, he will recruit kings on the earth. And he said there are 10 kings. And he said these have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. That's in verse 13. Now, what do they do with that? They wage war against the lamb. But it's the lamb we were talking about. He said, but the lamb will overcome. Forget all this noise they are making. The lamb will overcome. Why? He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. We emphasized that the lamb does not overcome unless he has kings. Just like the beast wages war by recruiting those 10 kings, the lamb also wages war because he has recruited, trained, perfected his own kings. And he said, who are these people? They are the called and chosen and faithful. So we said, for the Lord's battles to be fought on the earth, we said, soldiers of the cross, the people must be crowned as kings that can fight on his side. We talked about that. So today again, I'm talking about what does it take to be a king? That's what I'm trying to emphasize to us. First, I brought up the issue of stars to let us know that everybody can shine. Everybody can be a king. The stars are out there, all of them shine. There's no competition. We're not competing with anybody. That's why I learned that one from Mary Kay Ash. And that's why my wife does not give children first, second, and third in our classes. You don't get first, second, and third. Yes. The reason is simple. And there's a principle behind it. I learned it from Mary Kay personally. All right. I saw her reward system. All right. For her marketers. Why don't they give first, second, and third? It's because my position should not depend on your performance. See what I said? So if everybody is doing badly, I'm first. According to Martin Luther, I think it's Martin Luther. Yes, Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, don't judge your righteousness by other people's disobedience. By other people's iniquity, you judge your own righteousness. Your holiness is determined by God. Your standard of righteousness is God, not how other people are behaving. There are some prominent American Christian show people. When you see their life and you are ashamed that if this is Nigeria, you cannot call yourself a Christian. But you know, in America, it's okay. Why? By the standard of the society, they're actually better than others. But by the standard of Christ, they are not good. So Martin Luther said, listen, don't judge yourself by other people's iniquity. That is, listen. And then if you decide to be very brilliant, and then you were in the same class, I can't be first again. Because one guy came along that knows more than me. If you're in education, think about it. It's a very bad scoring system. In fact, what ends up happening in most places is that after a while, they leave three children to be fighting for the top position. The others just relax themselves. And they know that, look, no matter how hard I try, I'm not going to beat that guy. Which is very bad for motivation for the child. Yes, very terrible. It's okay. So what does she do therefore? It's simple. You are scored against yourself. You compete against yourself. So if you can get this mark, this mark, this mark, this mark, there's no first, second. There is excellent performer. So a class can have, let's assume there are 20 people in a class. If 19 of them do very well, at the end of the term, each person is it's called a top performer. You know, and you will get a reward, a plaque, you know, a certificate of excellent performance. The number of certificates issued is not dependent on anybody at all. If you want to get it, get it. So if everybody is not doing well, nobody gets it. If everybody is doing well, everybody gets it. The race in Christianity is a one-man race. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
That track doesn't have somebody on the left and on the right. It has just a goal in front. So run towards the goal. That is why I say Christians, churches, pastors, stop counting who's the biggest church. It has, see, there are things that have no meaning. Now, I'm not saying whether it's bad or good. I'm saying it's meaningless. Our church is the biggest. What does it mean? What does it mean? I'm trying to understand what does it mean. He doesn't have any meaning. Because, okay, you counted the number of people. How many of them are sheep? How many are goats? How many are wolves? Yeah, there's sheep, there's goats, there are wolves there. Jackals. I'm telling you, they're all in church. It's true. And it's okay, because the amount of money, I know some people, I won't mention their names, where they are seated, and the color of their cloth. It can be white, it can be black, I don't know. There used to be somewhere where promotion is by how much is the offering last week. So that is why you see those churches. They are evangelism towards bank managers and MTN managers. It's great. They will do anything. And then they will preach tight and first fruit to that guy. If you don't tithe, you are going to hell fire. Why? Because you see, my promotion is dependent on your faithful tithing. Churches, please stop that. You know, there are some things I don't like the fact that we have to talk about it. We should have had enough common sense to know that they are bad. Every soul is precious before God. How much you earn as income is irrelevant. People are competing. One of our brothers left their church because he said, no, just imagine that we have a church in this plaza now, all right? We now went for our annual church conference. They said, how many branches people have in that plaza? He said, Oga. No, it's not a plaza, it's a part of town. He said, look. He said, no. Those who have increased the number of branches, they put them on one side and rewarded them. So that guy came back home, took that church, broke it to four. See, you people are meeting other kind of. So, next meeting, we have four branches now. Same number of members, but at least four branches. In the same plaza, you see the same people. That's because we don't realize that we can all individually shine. We are not competing with anybody. That's the first point I want you to understand. Everybody can be a king. Jesus did not ordain for some people to be kings, and some are not. No. I love Pastor E. Adeboye. I love Bishop David Oyedepo. These are great men of God. I love them. But they are not kings in the body of Christ. They are personal kings. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm not aspiring to be like them. And I forbid you from doing such nonsense. Such aspiration. The aspiration I'm talking about. The work they are doing, excellent work. They are great men. God bless them. These are men that I love and respect. If you've heard me talk about somebody like Bishop Oyedepo, you know, I have immense respect for him. Be honest. I've never wanted to be like him. Why? We do different things. We do two totally different things. We believe the same Christ. We preach the same gospel. But different methods. With different aims. Some of the things he does with his time, I can't do it with my time. Not because it is bad. But if I did, I wouldn't fulfill the real reason I was called. Please, this is important. That's the first thing I need to establish. Everybody can be a star. The woman raising children at home, and that's her career, is a star job.
Yes, sir.
Look,
yes, sir.
The reference will tell you that's a more difficult job than running a big corporation. I'm quoting the reference. Our kingship and stardom is not in comparing one person with another. No, it's comparing yourself, with God, and with the work that he has given you to do in life. And of course, one of the most terrible ways you can judge whether you are doing well or not, I've been saying it, is money. If God walked up to me and said, Banky, I want to make you as rich as Aliko Dangote, I'll ask him why. Because he knows he has to put me out of ministry first. So, Banky, you're not believing for that kind of wealth. If you know what wealth is, my answer, I will give it to you straight. No, I'm not. Why? It's a job. It's a job. I can't be negotiating loans of 2 billion naira. When will I be preaching? $2 billion, I'm going to say. No. See, people, I pray we will understand it. It is a job a man is doing to build a company or to build. The other day I was telling my wife, when we're at home, we're analyzing it now. I was telling my wife how many members of staff he had. And she said that, I told her that in UNT we have 5,000 people working. And that is small compared. You know, we're talking about wage bill, just talking about promotion. If you are doing things, how to pray to go for promotion. That's not about what we earn, just that how many lives you bless. We're just explaining it. As if they tell the man to sign wage bill at the end of the month. So there are sums you will see. So is this national budget or 1 month salary? 1 month salary. You don't do such things. And you have seen revelations from Daniel and teaching it and how Ezekiel interpreted it. And you go to radio on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. It says world versus world. And you are teaching the world. Look. Make up your mind. You want to teach us on world versus world, or you want to pay our salaries? Yeah, we are 100,000. You can't do both of them. None of them is evil. None of them is bad. You just can't do both. Do you know Demos Shakarian, founder of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International? He was a businessman and a minister in the Ministry of Helps. Okay, even in business, God told him, you want to go into grain speculation, I have not given you enough time for that. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He went into speculating in grain prices, and he almost got wiped out. So went and prayed, Baba God, what is going on? Help me. You know, anytime you have trouble, please take time aside to pray. What did I say? Go and investigate. God will help you know what's the problem. Because he had made a lot of investments. They said, hey, nothing in this life is predicted. They said, once they remove the cap, the ceiling on grain prices, it will shoot through the roof. Some of you parking dollar that you think it will shoot to the road. The one you lost last time, you have not yet. You know, some people are stubborn. See, let me digress. You know, people. I was driving out of my house yesterday, and because Ude took my car the day before to, you know, service and all of that. So he went and tuned to radio. Normally my car is fixed on Bluetooth. So as I picked my car, as I'm driving, radio came on. See, the reason why I'm telling you now is that we invest, we give you money to trade Forex. I say, yeah. And people are still here. Actually, everybody will have retired. So we have a seminar coming up. You know how to trade Forex on the internet? I say, people don't learn. The guy was talking, you know, if you don't have money, we can lend you $2,000. We'll teach you how to trade. And then, people are there. Please, I hope nobody listens to me, listens to such nonsense. Because you will be decapitated. I know what I'm telling you. Let me just warn you, there are things I forbid you in Jesus' name from doing. Forex trading, currency trade of any sort, crypto trading. If you are doing crypto trading, you know you are working for Satan. I know you are a preacher, but you are still working for Satan on the side. I hope you're getting my point. If you want to trade, go and buy Gary and move it from one part of Nigeria to another. That is good trade. But go and buy beans. All right? Bring yam from Benue State to Enugu, or take yam to, you know, I hope you're getting my point. Go and sew clothes in Aba and sell in Enugu. That's how to trade. If you want to be decapitated, start this your crazy NFT trading. Some people say, what is NFT? Just don't do it. Because there's no future for you in any of these things. Just sitting down there, be trading nonsense. I heard it yesterday. I said, God, people are still here. Anyway, back to our gist. Then Moshe came and said, they said, when they remove the cap, the price will go up. He has entered into contracts, grain delivery contracts. They remove the cap, so the price will go up. You know what happened? It sank. The price started coming down. Every day the guy was bleeding. You know what I found out? I've told you before. See, something may be happening to the whole world. Forget, it's not the whole world, it's only you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. In this life, it's between you and God. You think dollar is going up and down for everybody. It's not. It's just you. Think like of it like that. When God wants to punish you, he knows what to do. When he wants to bless you, he knows what to do. Don't even be thinking that it's everybody. This one is not everybody. I know what I'm saying. If they build a prison in Egypt to put people, it's only for you. Your name is Joseph. Don't assume it's for everybody. Please, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Get very personal about these things. You know how to deal with God. Because the price was crashing. God didn't say it's everybody in America. He told them, Moshakara, I told you. Oh, no, he didn't say it like that. He said, I didn't give you that job. You gave it to yourself. He said, I didn't give you that job. You gave it to yourself. It is the reason he said that I'm trying to pick on. He said, grain speculation is not your business. Listen to me. He said, I have not given you enough time. That's what I'm talking about. Mental time, physical time. I have not given you enough time to be involved in such a business. You own a dairy farm, just stick with it. Then use the rest of the time to do my ministry work. That's all I have given you time for. It is not everything. So, where I'm going is that when you say we can all be kings, I mean it literally. But we will not all be financial kings. No. Nobody should deceive you. These are appointments that God gives people. One moment in my life, though, that was quite instructive was once I went to my mechanic then, this was years ago, when we used to use this fuel distributor system in our 300Es, Mercedes-Benz that we're using those days. Okay, they were all used cars. So they used to have this injector, actually there was distribution problems. So these guys didn't have, now they have machines, the same guy has machines, you plug this in, they didn't have, use their ears to tune engines. This guy had my car for weeks. The day I was supposed to pick it, he was not doing the final checks on it. Time to tune my engine. What I remember, there was in the mechanic, you know, area, a lot of them working there. So the guy came, smallish guy like this, they opened the bonnet, had somebody sit in the car, start the engine. Okay, tell the guy to rev, then they will do something. They will turn a small knob there, and the guy will rev, tell the guy to hold it, you know. See him doing stuff there. Now, where I'm going is not what he was doing. It's how everybody else left what they were doing and gathered around him. They all had cars they were working on. They left their cars and came to see the master. handle an engine. I stepped back. I was looking at all of them. All of them were looking at him, listening to what he was doing. And I remember I prayed. I said, God, there's a place where I'll be this good. That's what I just said to God. I wasn't planning to be a mechanic. I wasn't planning to make loads. I wasn't planning to trade stock on the internet or trade crypto. I said, Lord, there must be a place where I will be this good. That when I stand to do what I am doing, everybody else will pause to listen. And then I felt like I identified it. I said, so pay attention to it. You will not be king everywhere. That's one of the keys. Yeah, I'm dropping keys. First key, I mentioned that we can all be kings. We can all be stars. Number two, you will not be a king everywhere. David was not the king of Moab. I hope you're getting my point. David was not the king of Egypt. His big brother, Joseph, did not reign in the promised land. Even though he reigned in Egypt. He will not be a king everywhere. That's the things you must bear in mind. And wherever God has given you the skill, we'll get to it next. Because each position in life has its grace. Each position has its grace. And stop envying somebody else's own. They don't all make money equally. Money is not the yardstick. Please, I hope you're following my point. They don't all make money equally because money is not the yardstick. I thought that I said, God, I still remember the feeling. I looked, I said, Father, come on. There must be a place where when I stand to talk or to do whatever I need to do or you give me to do, people will gather like this. And then one day, I went to preach in one of these conservative churches in Enugu here. They're having their men's week and they came from all over the country. I said I should preach on the topic, mentorship. Not my typical topic, but I couldn't say no. Because of the men who invited me, and I gathered that day, and I stood. I said, you guys are giving me a topic, I don't know the meaning of it. Yeah, that's how I preach. I said, I really don't know what you want me to say. They prayed. Do you know, I started talking. I think the message is still somewhere. I don't know where it's now, archive, but I have it somewhere, sir. And I started talking, I talked for about an hour, or a little more than that. I think they asked questions or so, I can't remember, for sure now. But one young man came to me after. That's where I'm going. He came from Lagos. He said, sir, I have never in my life heard anything like this. Now, I always tell that story by first saying that they gave me a topic I didn't feel like knew. And listen, be honest with you, it was not about facts. It was not about, you know, words. It was about the move of the Spirit that he felt. Why? He said, now I know what it must have felt for the disciples to have been at the feet of Jesus. I was humbled by that testimony. He said, hey, this was how those men felt when Jesus was teaching. That they marveled that he spoke as one having authority. I was looking at this guy speak. Why was I looking at him? Because I didn't feel I knew what I was saying. I started by saying, you guys gave me a topic, I don't know what to say. Then I spoke about an hour. And a man came to me and said, for the first time, I had the feeling that I sat in front while Jesus was preaching. I hope you are getting my point. When I went on radio that time, when Cosmo FM started, they called me later to come and do a medical program. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. Why? I said, on air, this voice must be tied to one thing. Once it's on air, people should know they are hearing the gospel of Jesus. So I declined invitation after invitation. Opportunities, you want to be famous. I told one of my classmates, she knows people. COVID time. So some people say, give us somebody to come and give lecture on this and this and that. So she called me, Banky, please, will you do this? I said, well, tell me one of the big networks. So they will interview you. I said, my sister. Now, there's nothing they want to ask. In case you don't know, I'm a pathologist. I know it. Now, this is not bragging. It's just life. I hope I get my point. What do you want to now ask about the virus that for the common man, even if it's among experts, maybe I'll keep quiet. But among the general populace, I know like 15,000 times more than the average person. That's the general populace. Do you get my point? So there's nothing. I knew enough. Of course, I keep abreast of things like that. I read what's happening. So I knew enough to speak confidently. Many people have jumped at the opportunity. I mean, this, you know, they stream online. People watch on terrestrial TV. I tell you, I'm so sorry. As if it's broadcasting, I have to be preaching. She felt bad. I said, look for somebody else, but I can't take it. If it's broadcasting, I have to be preaching. I'm not going to go on air and be telling you, how the vaccines you need, how the virus works. I know how it works. But I know many people who also know it. Let them go and tell you. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Yes. It's not that, I've seen it many times. People want to be king everywhere. You can't be. It's not possible. God, you will tear yourself to pieces. It's only the place where you put your utmost focus that you can excel. Please stop jumping up and down. How to make a king, remember? That's what we're talking about. How do you become a king? Number one, all of us can be. All of us can be. All of us can be. I've explained that. Number two, it's not everywhere you can be. There's no competition. Each person has a race that is set in front of him or her. And bear this in mind. On that your path, look, Derek Prince will say, you can never be excellent beyond the amount of commitment you give to something. Did you hear what I said? That you can't be more excellent than the commitment you give to a thing. That's just the way it works. See, you know what Paul said? I labored more than them all, but not I, but what? But the grace of God working with me. Now listen to me. The grace made him what? Labor. Even though we know that grace makes you effective, but grace never makes you lazy. It makes you effective, but it never makes you lazy. Let me give an example. You are a preacher of the word. And listen, this is not it's just the way it is. If you take your Bible and you study it, you will have more understanding than the average person. The understanding is not for you, it's so that you can be effective in the work of the ministry. Do you get my point? So when you study for an hour, you probably gain understanding that people will probably gain after they've meditated for a whole month. I'm not exaggerating what I'm saying. They probably need to read 2, 3, 4 books to gain that understanding. So what many people will now think is that for that reason, I don't need to study more than an hour. I hope I get my point. But that's not it. That's not it. The same grace that gives you understanding pins you on your seat. And you just spend all the time studying. Even though you are more efficient than the average person, but you are still more dedicated than the average person. You'll never be excellent in what you're not dedicated to. It's not possible. No matter the grace you have, do you follow my point? That grace will first burst dedication in you. Even though the grace makes it easier for you than the average person. There's one man that he said that, I've forgotten the details now, so let me not, but he said that he plays the piano or something. Like that if I don't play for a day or two, that I will know. That when I say I go to play, I will know. But if I don't play for a month, my wife will know when next I go to play. But for the audience to know, maybe he has to go off playing for 2 months or 3 months, that then the audience will know. Now, but where I'm going is that it's not the audience, it's him. That if I just keep off for 2 days, next time I show up, I will know that, no, this is not flowing. It's not flowing smoothly. Now, this is somebody who has grace in that area. But he said, I still have to be there playing all the time. If I am not playing, that grace does not flow. So Paul said, I labored more than them all. Even though I'm walking by grace. But grace didn't make me labor. It didn't make me lazy. Sorry. It made me labor. Because without that dedication, you understand? The grace cannot be fully manifested. You can never be excellent in something that, just do on the side. No. You can't be. It's just not possible. There's a principle of focus in life in which they came to Jesus and said, we will follow you, but let's first. He said, what did you say? Let me first. What did you say? Let me first go and bury my father. He just said, no, it's not people like you we are looking for. Let me first. That first thing. Let me just give you a word of advice, personal experience. Don't rush out of your house in the morning without first talking to the Lord about things. It's the first thing I'm talking about first. If you wake up late, It's every other thing that's late, not talking to God. So better wake up very early. The earliest of the day. Get that sorted out. I've used this illustration here severally. Those days, my wife in the morning, she has a lot of work on her hands as a mother. Children are doing an assignment, and all of doing an assignment. Early in the morning, they wake up, finish the assignment. Then go and get ready. Dress up. Eat their breakfast. And they are running off to school. School before 8 o'clock. It's now 7:30. Everybody, to the car. Say, we will pray on the way. You know, God just stood on the balcony. I was looking at me. Thank you. Your family will pray on the way. Well done. No, thank you. They will pray on the way. So one day I told my wife, I said, come. I think we are making a mistake here. I said, why can't they do the assignment on the way? Why can't they dress up on the way? Why can't they eat their long breakfast on the way? Why is that it is prayer they will do on the way? So, hey, from now on, prayer is that first die in the house. Once you wake up in the morning, I said, look, choose one or two things to help you. You know, because if you wake up, you know, you come back and fall asleep while we are praying. I said, no, let's do something. Go and have a bath or go and take breakfast. Choose one. Okay? So when somebody is bathing, the other person is eating. Then you have done one thing before you come for prayer. So that when we have to press the time, when we have to rush, then we'll rush with dressing. Do you get my point? We will rush with finishing the assignment. We'll rush with eating. We'll carry the sandwich into the car and be eating and drinking as we are going. I say, it's not as we are driving. Yeah? Somebody says Psalm 23. Yeah, that is not Sheba. Everybody is driving. Say, you. It says Psalm 21. I say, it's not good. Let's treat the Lord with respect. There's a principle of first in life. You can only become king in what is first in your life. That's the point. You can only become king in what is first in your life. Now, next point I want to make is this. Quickly, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 19. There's a point I want to bring from there. I said we should look at Luke chapter 19. Yeah, let's read that one first. Then we'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Luke chapter 19. There's something Bishop Oyedepo used to say. Is it him that said it, or he was quoting somebody? That there's a place where you are excellent. What are you looking for where you are average? One of the things you will do. Look, let me say this before we read this. You've heard me say this many times. Young people, especially, listen to me as you are growing in life. Your prayer should be, God, what is my name supposed to be attached to? What I mean is this, what will people need and they will remember me? Please, pray to God to locate that thing for you early. It's very important. Now, before you even find it, one of the things maybe you should open this first. Okay, let's just read Luke chapter 19 so that we can leave it. We won't read much of it. It's a story we all know. A nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself. That's verse 12. Before he left, he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come. Now, a mina was about 100 days' wage. All right? Yeah, 100 days' wages. Thank you. He said, do business on this until I come back. But then you now go down to verse 15. When he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 more. And he said to that one, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. I'm going to stop reading here because I'm trying to save time. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. Now, please bear this in mind. Let me just make one or two points I wanted to make from here before we leave it. God is the one that will establish you as king. Now, to be in authority is what it means to be a king over cities. That's what kings do. All right? So, it is not you that will do it. It is God that will do what? Make you. It's God that will establish you. Thank you. It's God that will put you on that throne. It is never, listen to me, it's never your imagination. It's very important you understand this. That was why Samuel instructed David clearly. Samuel warned David, make sure you don't impose yourself on anybody. God has appointed you. God has anointed you. Does not give you the right to impose yourself on anybody. How was he going to impose himself? Kill Saul. So Samuel told him, don't touch Saul, whatever happens. Touch not the anointed of God. Leave him. Let God remove him at his own time. I hope you're getting my point. Let God promote you is a key that Christians must learn. You must wait for God's promotion. God has his own timing. He said, do this until I come back. Please bear that in mind, okay? Now, there's something I was saying. I want to just dispense of this, then I'll get back to this thing. Now, I was saying something earlier, that everybody, especially if you are young, please be praying early for where you should be located. Please, it's important. Now, let's get it clear. I will say it again. You can't be everything. And you don't have to be that which is prominent, what everybody wants to be. You are not Davido. Do you get my point? You don't, listen, it's not necessary to be another Davido. Okay, you are not Davido Yedipo. So it's not only Davido. There's also David in the church. Okay, this is also David O. Also, right? Okay, with all due respect, sir. All right, this is also David O. It is this woman that said it, not me. It's good to admire people, all right? But in this life, make sure that the godly ones are the ones you admire. It's very, very important. Okay, it's very good to admire people, but make sure you admire only the godly people. But you don't have to be exactly like anybody. Now, what I'm saying so is that a lot of young men have been called to ministry. They've not really been called to ministry. They've been called to become another Adeboye. Do you follow my point? Yes, that's what they have been called to in their minds. Okay? In their mind, that's what, when they say they've answered the call to ministry, they've answered the call to become like a particular person. Look, it's not necessary. If you have been called to ministry, here you go, so many things to say. If your friends don't think you are called, you are not called. You are not called. Because calling will manifest as grace that's upon your head. If you are the only one thing that thinks you can preach, you can't preach. You want to tell me a story of somebody who, look, eventually, other people also, listen, the first time, is it Lester Sumrall went to preach, Satan allowed him to overhear somebody say that guy can't make it preaching, something like that. Okay? See, so I know such things do happen. What I'm saying that the real grace that you have, all right, people around you will notice it. If I dare to say, apart from things like prophetic gifts, all right, which usually has a lot of personal interaction with the Spirit, all right, most of that gifts, other people will be the one to notice it, not even you. That's first. Other people will be the one to notice it. One of our sisters that time, I noticed something about her. If you tell me she has a calling or grace to minister to children, I will believe 100%. Do you know why? If we're in this meeting now together and we finish, and we're all talking, just look for her. Before you know what's happening, she's sitting down in one corner. At least 6 children have gathered. How it used to happen, I don't know. I wish I could call her one so that you would test it. Anywhere. Just come for a meeting like this, we'll just end the meeting and then we scatter. You know the way we just get everybody, somebody's talking to one person, then just give her like 10 minutes. The next thing you look, you'll have seen she's sitting at the corner. At least 5, 6, 10 children have gathered and they are talking. And the children are paying attention. So if you tell me that I have a grace to minister to children, they can't sit down to listen to you. Once you come, they start crying. Listen, listen. Go and ask yourself, really, with this grace, what is it about? I hope you're getting my point. They're not as good. Now, I'm saying something here, please. As much as possible, young people, pray early in life for God to locate you in a place. Now, your desire in life should be, my name should be attached to something, and I must be excellent in doing that thing. Do you get my point? My name should be what? Attached to something, and I must be excellent. There are things you pursue, because everything, the Bible says, with patience, you possess your soul. So I'm not saying be hasty, okay? Don't make decisions in a hurry. But there are things you pursue after a while. You know, if I like spend 100 years here, I'm not going to be excellent in it. You don't belong there. Look, I told you, see, I train, naturally speaking, as a medical doctor, all right? I have a bachelor's in medicine, bachelor's in surgery. But I knew that there's no, put me 100 years in a clinic. I can't, you know my reason? I get impatient with complaints. That is, after a while, doc, the head is still paining me. Why now? I mean, for goodness sake. Look, in my mind, is like, will you leave me alone? Why is your headache? Now my headache. But one of my colleagues who took delivery of all my children, My wife will tell you something that, look, when labor comes, when she's in labor, when the guy arrives, that the way the guy talks to you, you know this guy is supposed to be my doctor. There's no need. You just know this guy is my doctor. Hey, madam, how are you? Hey, she will play with you, play, gist with you. How's the contractions going? And then she will laugh. And after a while, he will tell you that, okay, we are moving to the next room. Please, when we get there, this our joke is over. No, he tells you ahead of time. That when we move, that what they call them, the stage, what they call it, stage two room, maybe? Uh-huh. So that's stage two, because that time I have a short time. Okay, for those who don't know, the baby is not getting enough blood now because it's on its way out. The placenta is being squeezed. The cord is being squeezed. I don't have time to play with you. If I have to slap you, by God, I will. Yeah, no, the guy actually explains it. So I'm going to get to that stage. So he said, all these are. So as they wheeled you out of there into there, he said, I told the other. So now, you are going to push for me now. If you don't push, it's going to matter. I said, yeah. Is it not this guy that was playing with me? No, he warned you ahead. Because it had just a few minutes to get the head of the baby out. And then we can all breathe easy. Then we can go back to joking and play with ourselves. You see, the way the guy will handle, you know, he was called to take care of people. And the guy is my classmate. We learn from the same people. I didn't learn that part. I missed the lecture. That's what the Bible meant when he said, each of us has grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He now said, whatever be your grace, let each one exercise them accordingly. You only become excellent in what you are exercising. First, you must have the grace. Two, you must exercise it. I just quoted from Romans chapter 12. New American Standard Version is the one that uses the word, let them exercise them accordingly. In life, it is important. If you want to be a king, your name must be attached to something. It must be. When I say attached to something, that there's something somebody needs and you're the first person he thinks of. When you have found that thing, please, you must put excellence into it. When you have found that thing, what do? You put excellence. Excellence, you see, like one of my friends will say, grace is a gift. Skill is from practice. Skill is from use. You become skillful from what? Use. From repeated use. I'm a preacher, all right? I found out something. Now, this is not bragging matter, all right? All I just need is give me the pulpit. I need only 5 minutes notice on any subject I know how to preach on. 5 minutes notice is what I require. 5 minutes, all right? That's not bragging issue, okay? Now, the reason I don't even need any notice, because when I sit with people, I gist, I preach anyway. So what are you? Notice is even a privilege. Are you talking about my point? Like, if I'm just going on the road, say, this young, gather now. I remember one day we were in church, they were not doing anything. He said, okay, we're supposed to have a program. I said, we thought it would be five or four, but he said it's five. It's five? So I told the guys, pastors, I said, all of you, sit down. Let me teach you something while we wait. There will be something that's burning in my heart, all right? Now you guys have nowhere else to go. Sit down. Lock the door. Nobody's going anywhere. Just give me 1 hour. I will teach you something. Now, this is where I'm going. It's not as a result of just grace alone. Is grace with what? Use. Is grace with use. Is grace with use. And listen, when you are trying to set out in life, stop looking for where you make money. Look for where you make use. Yeah, where you'll be given opportunity. Don't let anybody can you give you money and give you no opportunity to use. If they collect all your time, you don't have time to use. I hope you're getting my point. Then they are planning for you to be obscure. See, I've told those of you just running up and down because you want to be comfortable. Please run to where you can use. Do you remember what I'm saying? Run to where? You can use. For example, you're a pastor. They say, come to headquarters. What will you be doing? You'll be filling baptismal card. Interviewing newcomers. Where's your house? Do you want us to greet you or not to come and greet you? And then meanwhile, you have the anointing. They say there's a branch. It's somewhere. It's one of those big towns after it took there on the way to Port Harcourt, just off the road. What's the name? Anyway, some of those. Okay, let's Udechukwu's village as an example now. He said there's a church there, all right? There's a secondary school down the road. Staff quarters is not too far from there. Then there's this small learning center where young people learn. No, I'm trying to tell you that there's young men, some women, some staff, you know, all kinds of people around that area. And then they now say there's a branch there they just opened like last year. And you now hear that they have a Bible training class. They don't have a teacher. There's no resident pastor. And I say, which one will you choose? If you are called to ministry, please, don't choose headquarters. Choose that one. Choose that one. Because on Sunday morning, you must preach. Midweek service, you must preach. That class that holds on Saturdays, you are the only one available to preach. Ha! You will preach. Do you follow my point? Collect that one. That is what you need. But you know, a lot of people, what amount of offering is in the pocket of young people? That's what they are thinking. Headquarter is where there's one man of God. I don't know his name. I know his name, but I just want to tell you. One day he and I were somewhere, we were talking. He was in the headquarter branch in one church. So I said, man of God, are you traveling for Christmas? He said, no, sir. I said, why not? He said, it's harvest season. I said, what do you mean harvest season? I said, okay, you go church. They just said, man of God, where's your car? He said, that is it. They opened the boot, one bag of rice, bam, you lock him. After service, he said, man of God, good afternoon, sir. He said, how are you? Madam, good afternoon. Please, where's your car? That is it. They open a cooker inside. Bah, close the door. He said, travel. He said, okay. I know they travel, though. I know they travel. Who travels during harvest? Is that not a lazy son? There's work to be done. He that watches the wind will not sow. He that observes the clouds will not reap. You know, there's reaping time. I said, okay, I don't travel anywhere. Jesus Christ has been born. Don't worry about it. His birth can be celebrated everywhere. Whether it's Bethlehem or Jerusalem or in Udi, we will celebrate. So some people just say, no, harvest season in that place no go good. It will not be good. And that's the reason why they never become skillful. Whatever you are in life, your aim should be to be what? Skillful. Please, let me beg you. That skill and excellence must be the great desire of your heart. No matter what you are doing. If you are making clothes, enter a shop, not to go and buy. To go and see the skill with which they made some things. Ask yourself, how did they make this suit that the pattern under the shoulder is not showing? Don't give yourself sleep until you can do it. Do you get my point? You are a panel beater. You fix car, vehicle bodies. You, when they finish, we can see they have worked on your car. That's the one you are used to. When people finish, you know some car, when they come from panel beater, you will know. You can. The one word that the body filler will show. But there's some people that will finish with the same car. You will wonder, is this the manufacturer that just released it? Did they change this person? No, we did this. Don't rest until you can do it. Stop being amongst those who like to tell stories. You don't know the tool they are using. The tool that they are using. The tool is not using itself, Abi. There are human beings involved. Tell yourself, if it is tool, we'll find it. There's a principle of sacrifice. When it says, sell all you have. Listen, that thing, Jesus was trying to show the man, do you really want eternal life? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Sometimes, you have a skill. Maybe you make clothes as an example. You drive a nice car. And you see somebody, anytime he makes his stitches, line, straight, look at this. Now you've been trying. They say, it's the kind of machine that they use. Say, what does it cost? When you see the price, say, yeah. Then you look at your car, look at the machine, say, oh boy, this car, there are kekes and buses. If I heard that they want to buy new buses in town now, some of you, they demolished your house to build bus station for us. God bless you. All right, just say, God. Thank God for Pitamba and Pitamba, no go agree. You know? Whichever one. Say, thank God for him. Sell that car, buy that machine. Stop driving a car that's not carrying you anywhere into destiny and telling me the problem. Those people, it's because they have machine and you have car. What are you doing with the car? They say, you just sell the car. I say, don't worry. I can't be making clothes and not look this neat. If it is his machine that it will cost, we will buy it. Your friends are building houses, they say, landlessness is voicelessness. Say, no, tell them skilllessness is destinylessness. Use your own money to buy machines. Sit down, train yourself until, when people see, say, what? Was this made by angels? Then you know you have reached somewhere. Anytime you see something better than what you are doing currently, the desire of your heart is to be as good as that. I hope you're getting my point. That you are relentless in the pursuit of excellence. That's how you make kings. That is how you make kings. That you are relentless in the pursuit of excellence. That is how you become a king in life. Please, though, you can make decisions to go anywhere. None of my business. But please, never make a decision to disappear into obscurity. Me, I don't understand it. I don't understand why you decide because somebody is giving you food. You know the kind of person I am? If you tell me that, look, Banky, I have a job for you. It's somewhere in Western Europe. All right? This is how much they pay you. You'll be a good pathologist there and all of that. I say, go, fine. Or I have one for you somewhere in, this will surprise many people, maybe in Borno State. All right? You are going to be teaching children this subject in a school and they'll be pastoring and this at the same time and teaching the word of God. Which one do you choose? I won't ask you how much they pay in each one. I will have taken this one before. I said, do they even pay? I won't ask you how much they are paying. Because my own is that, hey, wait. I look at those children, okay, insurgency, did not let them go to school for some time. So now it is time to ground them again for their destiny. And then on Sundays, I'm the one teaching them in church also and teaching their parents. Ah, what is this life about? No, for me, what is this life about? That's what it means to be. Listen, being a king, notice what Jesus said here. Occupy till I come. Listen, when God wants to promote you, see, like I said, don't worry about it. He knows what to do. He knows how to. He knows when to. Your own is to make sure that. That's the next point. I said you should open somewhere, right? What you are doing is preparing yourself. You know, David, he had an excellent heart when it comes to becoming, to being a shepherd. I hope you know that. He was an excellent shepherd. He was not an excellent king. He was an excellent shepherd. And then he knew how to play. Now, there's one thing about, again, let me just say something to you. You have to know the things that God is blessing you with. Stop complaining. God bless you with a lot of time. Ask him, what am I supposed to do with it? Stop grumbling about the fact that you don't have money. Now, in fact, this part of my prayer point is, and God is helping me to try and manage my time so I can be productive. Okay, but this is where I'm going. I look at my life now in the last few years. And as if God made me this busy, because life has certain critical seasons. It's like children. A child is born. A woman is pregnant. There are certain critical moments in that child's development that she cannot afford to be lacking in any vitamin. Otherwise, you affect the child the rest of life. Yes. If I used to tell women that, look, if you're expecting to get pregnant, please supplement yourself with folic acid one way or the other. There are different ways you can do it. Is that okay? Some of them from very natural means. Because the first few weeks is critical for the brain development of the child. Before you can even be sure that the pregnancy is settled, the brain and spinal cord is already forming. So the certain nutrients are critical. Is that okay? When a child is growing, if the brain does not grow properly to the age of 2, it can never be recovered except by a miracle. First 2 years of a child's brain development is the most critical. The brain stops growing at the age of 2, thereabout. You can now start adding information to it. But the size, that's why children's heads are a little bit bigger than the rest of their body. If you check a boss's head now, it's even up to 10% of his body. You know why? This head has been this same size since it was like 2 or 3. The body now just the long they go. You say, but sir, the head has been growing. No, it's the cheek that's growing. The neck was growing. But the head itself, the skull and the brain inside, they maxed out before the age of 3. But the skull can be thicker. And that one is said to grow for the rest of life, little by little. The neck gets thicker. So you think the head is not growing. So they are saying critical moments in development of life. In the same manner, please, I tell young people, stop all this pursuit. As soon as I leave school, I have to make money. You don't need to make money. You need to make faithfulness. You need to make skill. You need to make dependence. You need to go and make some important, you know. It's not money time. There's nobody that's less than 30 that should be looking for money for what? What are you doing with money? What you need is to be busy, to develop a skill. Go and save where nobody's paying you anything. Nobody's paying you anything, but they can give you, they allow you food. And you can read. You can go and learn something. What's all the hurry? See, young boys these days, see all those boys who are driving sharp E-class around town, doing sharp things online. mark my words, 9 out of 10 will be in abject poverty or dead before they are 50. I saw one guy, look, analyzing, so for they were speaking, podcast. All right? So I was talking to ladies, and there's this thing they call OnlyFans. All right? There's one website where it's pure immorality. Okay? That's what they do. That's what they sell immorality. So I was telling the young ladies, he said, you know your problem. You have nothing apart from your body. You'll be poor. That no matter the amount of money you make now, you will return to poverty. Because you have no skill. You just be showing yourself off naked for people to be watching. They will give you money. He was telling them flat. The girls were all OnlyFans people. They were millionaires. Any hundreds of thousands of dollars every year by just showing themselves naked to a select group of people who will pay. And some of them maybe will agree to talk to them later. You know what I'm trying to say? The guy was telling them, he said, you have nothing. You have no skill. Look, he gave it to them straight. He said, people like you, we end up in poverty. That because what really matters in life, you don't have it. So you think your body that matters, you should soon wear out. He compared them with sports people, some of these sports people. But I agree that his comparison was not very good because these days, to make it in sports, you know now, you need intense discipline. See, you see a footballer there, eh? Which is why I'm always angry with the Nigerian footballers of old that are now advertising bet this, bet that. Let me go back to my prophetic position in their lives. Anybody who was an athlete and who made it through discipline, God gave them the opportunity to exercise themselves diligently until they became successful in their athletic work, whether it's football or running. But they now return to tell our young people to bet to make money. May God punish them. I hope people are cutting this clip and sending it to the relevant people. Thank God, many of them are my age. He said, Pastor Frank, why are you talking about us? Because this was not how God made it for you. When you were playing for that club in Europe, you knew when you used to wake up. You couldn't eat what you wanted. The club told you what to eat. You had the discipline of an athlete, which Paul told us about writing to Timothy. What are you talking about? They want to tell our young people now, if they just bet this, bet that, they will now make money. May God make all your businesses a gamble. Until you put your face off those betting charts and betting adverts and stop deceiving young people. You did not make it by betting with your legs. You woke up early in the morning and ran. You disciplined yourself. You exercised your muscles. There were drinks you could not take because if they tested you by accident, you'll be suspended. You knew now. All this one, they said, these boys are sleeping around. When they go to play in Saudi, can they date? They will hang you with all your football boots. It's true now. To make it as an athlete, you have to be disciplined. What am I going to say? In life, to make you have to be disciplined. That guy was saying those OnlyFans girls, said, forget it, you people can never make it in life. It was saying that to their faces, though. So all this money you are making will disappear. So what people need in life, if you want to be excellent, to be a king, you must put excellence into everything that you are doing. You must. Try and narrow it early in life. Let God help you. And put excellence into it. And put excellence into it. If you are a preacher, have information. You don't stand in front of people and you are ignorant as they are. Why are they following you? I can't go to a class of medical students to teach and I don't know more than they know. Will I be right? As I should open to one. Let me. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 3. I want to end it now. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read this in King James for a reason. That's chapter 3. 23. Hey, it's 23. Yes, it's 23 now. 2 Samuel 23. David was speaking. Please don't confuse young people, eh? All my people that I'm talking to you, you know. Look, in this matter, I'm a prophet of God. I command all of you, go and remove your faces. If I'm some of you, you have to issue public apology. Yes. You say, I'm sorry I told you to use bet bingo. You know, they have all kinds of things. In case I'm calling the name of your company, it's a coincidence. So some of them are bet monkey. Some monkey bet. Some dog bet. Rat bet. Whatever you are, can never become a king by betting, even though your name is Bet King. You can, look, I'm telling you, a bet slave. Anybody in the betting hall is a slave, can never be a king. If you win $1 billion, they kill you. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Some of you have to go and issue an apology. Say, young people, I'm so sorry. This was not how I made it. I used to jog by 5 a.m. Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul, Abi. Is that your name? Yeah, in the next few weeks. Go and see that old man. Mike Tyson is about 58. Go and see him walk out. You'll be afraid. That 50-something-year-old man, see him walk out, you will be afraid. It's the discipline of an athlete the Bible is talking about. When you see those guys, the number of kilometers they jog every morning. See, I don't mean every morning. I was watching the testimony of this guy the other day. This is just side gist. What is his name? Tyson Fury. He was born about 2 or 3 months premature. The doctor said he's going to die. His father said he will not die. He will live. He will be almost 7 feet tall and will be a champion of the world. The father told the doctor. The guy is 6'8". Or is he 6'10"? It's almost 7 feet. They have a kind of Christian background. He told them, he said, look, there was a time after he won and became rich. He lost it and became very worldly, living for pleasure. Then one day he went to go and play with children, you know. He was wearing a Halloween character costume. Halloween costume. So he looked and said, God, is this what my life is supposed to be? I have a wife and children back home. He has many children. That guy's always having children. That's like 8 now. Yeah. He's a man of God, you know. The guy ran back home, got on his knees and prayed till God helped him. Now this is where I'm going. To return to being an athlete, he lost, I think, about 40 kilograms in a few months to return. Yeah. So the first, he told himself he's going back to his normal life. That's being an athlete. He said he's going to run 2 kilometers today. He ran only 200 meters before he fainted. He said, no problem. He said, but there's one thing. He kept on coming back. He kept on coming back. He kept on coming back until he was running kilometers upon kilometers. Now, listen, I've watched the guy fight. You may not like boxing as a Christian, but that guy has anointing to box. Yeah. All right, when he was talking to, what is his name? The one that said he's the bronze bomber. The bronze bomber. Eh? Deontay Wilder. Deontay said something to him. Ah, look, that day we're going to be fighting. He said, he's going to come upon me. It's not me you're going to be seeing. The guy said, what am I going to be seeing? He said, for that thing you have said, you have lost the fight. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That cannot be overcome. That there's no spirit that will overcome you that can overcome the spirit that is in me. Deontay dropped him heavily. I think it was around 10. They thought he had passed out. Deontay said that he didn't believe the guy could get up. The guy got up and I think outboxed Deontay to the end. Their last fight, he beat Deontay. I thought he wanted to kill somebody. He said, yeah, the guy dead his God. He says, a fight between your God and my God. He said, you will see. You meet my God in battle. Listen, where I'm going is that for the man to return to boxing, go and check what he did. He ran until he shed like 40 kg. I can't remember the exact amount of weight. Dropped weight. Not able to come and bet. You may be happy with it. You may be admiring people like, what is our guy? Our Lagos boy. The British boxer too. Yeah. If you see the discipline in those people's lives. When this guy has skipped. How many have ever skipped 10 without stumbling into the rope? I've never been able to skip 20 without stumbling into the rope. Go and try it, you know. Your leg will cross that rope, Shani. But go and watch these guys skip. They don't skip by counting. They count the length of time. The guy just, pam, 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 pam. 30 minutes has gone. He has not stumbled into the rope. They're not telling me that. Bet and then make money. Was that waka, waka? Was that how you made money? Now, these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares. So, I want to read the King James. Let me just switch over to it. There's a reason why. Just want to bring out something there. He said, now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth. Even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, by the clear shining after rain. Let me stop in that verse 4. Why I'm reading this, the way King James expressed it, that God said, if you are going to be a king, you must learn to rule in justice. You must learn to rule in the fear of God. The aim of God's kings, for God, that is the aim of God for his kings, is that they will be as a light of the morning when the sun rises, even as a morning without clouds. That is God's aim for kings is to lead men in righteousness. I hope you're getting my point. It's not to rule and to enjoy life. I need to explain this. It's not to what people think, to rule so as to enjoy life. No, it's to teach men righteousness. Any area of life that God puts in authority, just for one purpose, to teach righteousness. To shine forth the light of Christ. What does it mean to teach righteousness? To tell people this is the right thing to do, this is not what you do. I hope you're getting my point. That is why God establishes people as kings. Many people are established as king in the, you know, on the throne, and then they disappoint God. God looks for a Jeroboam, takes him out of being nobody, and makes him a king in Israel. And the first thing Jeroboam does is to build two idols, so that the people of Israel would not go back to Jerusalem to go and worship. God said that was not the aim. You were supposed to lead the people in righteousness and the fear of God. The reason why people do that is they want to establish their own thrones. You did not put yourself on the throne. It is not by your power that you will establish it. It's only by righteousness. So if you want to be established as a king in this life, you learn righteousness. He said, be occupied until I come. What are you doing during the period? You are proving faithful and learning and practicing righteousness. You are proving faithful. Listen, if God puts you in the bush to be farming corn there, stay there. Do what you are supposed to do. He said, stay there until I come. What are you supposed to do? Learn righteousness. Practice faithfulness. I was telling you about David. What he did as king was what he practiced as a shepherd. Do you get my point? What he did as king was what he practiced as a shepherd. By the time you are established as king, it is time. Look, you think it was when he became prime minister in Egypt that Joseph was now learning how to manage affairs? God had trained him. He said, this boy knows boundaries. You know why he stayed forever there as the prime minister? Pharaoh never felt threatened. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Oh no, Pharaoh never felt threatened. Look, let's not deceive ourselves. Pharaoh knew he was not a god. People call him God, but Pharaoh in his heart, no, say, oh boy, I did bleed. When I brush vigorously, no be blood that is. I fell the other day. I injured my toe. Did he not bleed? Gods are not supposed to bleed. Pharaohs used to bleed. But they knew. What am I saying? They could have been threatened by Joseph. But go and read your Bible. Joseph never made himself rich. He only made Pharaoh rich. Read your scriptures. I don't have time because I said I don't want to stay for too long. All right? If I overshot the time I have allotted for today. Joseph did not make himself rich. He made Pharaoh rich. You know, there's a particular man, because we are streaming, but some of you can guess. He was vice president in Nigeria. And his president vowed that you'll never be president. Those of you who know, you know. I have some spiritual insight into things. And there was just one mistake he made. You were the vice president. You were supposed to just serve the president. Now, let me say this surprise some people. You were not supposed to serve the people. Listen, if you're a deputy governor, your allegiance is not to the populace, to the governor. People don't know these things. You help the man do what is right. Sir, this is the best thing for us to do. Do I have your permission? Yes, sir. Then you go and do what he said. Look, Jesus did not come to save the lost. You know, I've told that many times. What did he come to do? He came to do what? The will of the Father. It was the Father that was saving the lost. People don't know where to put their allegiance. We didn't concern Jesus as the world. If Father said condemn the world, he will have killed everybody with peace of mind. He came to do the will of the Father. So the Father said, the best thing to do is to die for them on the cross. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He went to the cross in obedience to the Father. He didn't care about the people. Some of you, they are appointing to office, just be misbehaving. You don't know that the man who appointed is more important than the people who appointed you over. I know some people won't like it. That's why you don't know anything. This particular man I'm talking about, he gathered power for himself. He did not know that, go and read your Bible, after Jesus has gathered the power, Paul said what? He will take everything and lay it down before the Father. He should have gone to the then president and said, Oga, all these people are serving me now. But you know, you are the boss. What should I tell them to do? And that man will have said, okay, tell them so and so. So he will go back and say, the king said so and so. No. He said, no. Look, let's relax. The king is on the throne. We cannot speak against the king. That man will have handed power to him like this when he's leaving. But he said, no, I will do it my own way. I will become king. And God said, let's watch. And the king said, it will never happen while I'm alive. 21 years later, it hasn't happened. How do we get into that? When God puts you in power, listen, you have to know what the power is for. The aim is to serve the will of God. You cannot, that's what I'm saying. You cannot establish yourself as king. Only God can. Your own job is to learn what? Righteousness and practice what? Faithfulness. Your job is to what? Learn righteousness and do what? Practice faithfulness. God will establish you. That is how we become kings. The aim is to lead men in righteousness. Once God gives you authority, your authority must be used to direct men to righteousness. This is how things are done. That's what they mean by righteousness. Your authority should be used to teach them gratitude to God. You're not the pastor of a church so that you too, you now have an insurance benefit for your life. When you are old, at least, offering will be coming. God will make that church. And then you are old, you can't preach again. There will be only 2 members remaining. Yeah, that's how it works. See, there's nothing in this life that's an insurance for your life. Never. See, let me tell you something. Learn to pray. You know, I've told you, prayer is not... Christians, I finished my message. I'm going up. Christians like to just go to prayer and be gyrating. See, that's not prayer. That's gyration. You know what prayer is? Give me a chair. This is what prayer is. Father, you know, I don't have an insurance policy. My children are growing. Please take good care of them. Things are getting very expensive. I have work to do. You have sent me to do certain jobs. I just have to focus on the thing that you have given me to do. People tell me all the time about, hey, what about your children? What about your future? What about your retirement? Lord, I'm forbidden according to your word to think about such things. So in this morning, I rise again, Lord, to hand them over to you. Take care of my needs. Take care of my children. You are my Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let it come into my life, into my home. Let your will be done in my life and around me. The life of my children, everything you have given me to do. Give me my daily bread. Everything that I will need in life, Lord, supply it. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Don't go to the place of prayer. Are you mad? Are you not talking to somebody? Okay, who's the danger for now? One reason why many of us have not received answers, we have not asked God for anything. Go and review your prayer life over the last few weeks and go and see what you have been doing. Nothing. So it's time to pray. Oh, you are quoting scripture to impress God in prayer. See, if you are broke, you need one scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you are afraid, you need one scripture. He raised the heavens to my help. The Lord is my keeper. Do you get my point?
Yes.
If you are afraid for your destiny, say, there's one scripture you need. All the days of my life I've written in your book. Oh my God. Honestly, I don't like people screaming for God. Before, if you come into my presence and you shout like that, I'm not going to answer you. I said, Lion Cab, let me talk to that guy outside. Check what is wrong with him. Go bother your head. Say, Father, look, if I take a minute this morning and pray and commit something to the hands of the Lord. Take a moment this morning and pray and commit some things into the hands of the Lord. Pray. Commit things into the hands of the Lord. Because many times we are not able to achieve what God wants us to achieve is because we are distracted by many worries. Many of us have abandoned where we are supposed to be kings because of worry. Give the worry over to the Lord and say, Lord, lead me to the place where I'm supposed to be established as a king for you. It's an important prayer.
Say, Lord, lead me to that place where I'm supposed to be a king for you. Lead me to that place. There's a call. The Lord is calling kings. He's calling out kings. It's a season. There's a new season that is upon us. And the Lord is raising kings. Respond to the Lord. Say, Lord, I respond to you. I am open to you. The place where you have called me to be a king for you, Lord, I respond to you. I accept your call, Lord. I respond to that call. That call that you have put out for me. That call that you have made. That call, Lord, that you have put out, calling me to a place to be the king. That call, Lord, I respond to it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I respond to your call. Take me to that place where you want me to be a king. Lord, I ask for light. I ask for light. Help me to perceive, to understand where I am. Help me to know what I need to do. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I respond to the call. I respond to that call. I respond to your call. You are calling your kings from far. You are raising your own kings now. Say, Lord, I submit myself to your tutelage. I submit myself to your academy. I submit myself to where you are raising your kings. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I submit myself. I respond to your call. I say, yes, Lord. I say, yes, Lord. I say, yes, Lord. You are raising your kings. In this season, you are raising your kings. In this season, you are raising your kings. You are raising kings in different areas, facets of life. Say, Lord, I respond to you. I yield to that call. Say, Lord, I submit myself. I respond. I respond. I submit myself to your tutelage, to that academy, to that your training place. Lord, I submit myself to that call. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name, eternal Father. Your word is life. Be thou exalted, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I'm sure we all know what to do. Amen. As the Lord gives you revelation, you have to strive to be faithful to that place the Lord is calling you to. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right, this is Kingdom Word Ministry. Let's remember that the next meeting is on Tuesday by 5 p.m., which is School of Prayer. And we have our normal and regular Bible class on Fridays by 5 p.m. Please endeavor to be here on time. Invite somebody. Also, in this week, the message I've heard today is very important. Please go to YouTube and share with somebody. Amen. Yes, let somebody hear it, so that their lives will be blessed, so that they receive instruction from above. Praise the Lord. Shall we share the grace? Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and we walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Give that to two people on your right and on your left. And one for yourself. This is my season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cherub brethren,